be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name in that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done, well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well, tears are washed away and every broken thing will finally be made whole. What will it be like when I come into your glory, standing in the presence of a love so beautiful? I'm waiting my whole life for that day.
If you read the daily devotion this morning, it talks about this gentleman who took his kids on a trip. And it's, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? If you've ever had a kid and you've gone on a long journey, you know that feeling. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And the point of the devotion this morning, the point of that song that we heard this morning was, sometimes there's a longing to wonder, are we there yet? You know, this world can be tough, it can be difficult, it can be great at times as well too, but it's really not the way that God made it for us. That because of sin, because it fell apart when Adam and Eve sinned, this world is broken and our lives are broken and there's trials and tribulations and good things and bad things of life that make it tough sometimes. And as we see, as we've been going through the story of Samson, for Samson, he chooses a lot of wrong decisions and makes a lot of wrong choices, and he doesn't finish well. It's a tragedy. And it's one of the few tragedies in the Bible. But it has some really powerful points and warnings for us. And for the Jewish people that would sit around the campfire and they would tell the story of Samson to their kids. As we've talked about the last couple of weeks about how God is in control of history, and we've seen the power of sin and how it can destroy our lives and its destructive nature. These would have been the stories that they would have talked about to their kids around the campfire, and today's no different, but today's the ending of Samson's life and the tragedy of his life. And the challenge for you and me is, as we read through Samson's life, is I hope, I don't want to finish like Samson. I want to finish well. I want to someday be welcomed into God's kingdom where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But as we've seen, there's temptations along the way. There's life, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's difficulties that can drag us away from God and increase our doubt in him and destroy us ultimately like they did Samson. And so Samson is a warning for us, but it gives us, when we look at the opposite, some great principles of how we can finish well. But before we dive into the principles, let's read through the story this morning. And it's one many of us are familiar with. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to read from Judges chapter 16. And it's Samson and Delilah is the title. One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. Now if you remember last year, last week, the last verse was, in verse 20 of chapter 15, Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So we're not sure when, you know, Samson struck all the Philistines, when Samson was going to get married. It doesn't tell us his age, but let's assume around 20-ish, right? And then now we're 20 years later, so Samson's in his 40s or more, or maybe a little bit less. But not much less. And once again, he's in a place where he's not supposed to be, in Gaza. He's sleeping with a prostitute. And the people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn we will kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to the top of his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. And if you've ever seen some of these old city gates, this is not just a door that we have going into the doors of the church. These are big, fortified, heavy gates on iron hinges. No normal man would rip these doors off their hinges and drag them up a hill. So even though Samson is doing something he's not supposed to do, even though he's in a place where he's not supposed to be, falling to temptation again, God still hasn't left him. And that's good news for us, because even when we mess up, and even when we're in sin, and even when we fall to temptation, God is still there waiting for us to repent and to come back to him. Verse 4, but unfortunately Samson doesn't do that. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Guess where Sorek is? Somewhere where Samson's not supposed to be again. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see, if you can lure him into showing the secret of your great strength and how we can overpower him so that when we tie him up and subdue him, each of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. And if you've got one of those notes in your Bible, that's about 28 pounds or 13 kilograms of silver. That's a lot of silver, even today, but back then even more so. That's a lot of money they're offering her. So Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your strength and how you can be tied up and subdued. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Straight out lie. Which is, you know, sort of half smart, I guess, on Samson's part at that point. Like, why should he tell this girl? The rulers, Samson answered, if anyone, so he does that. Then verse 8, then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of Samson's strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, you have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied. He said, if anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man. So Delilah took new ropes, surprise, surprise, and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, all this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied. He replied, if you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of a loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man. Hello, Samson! You notice something, though, how now it's closer to the truth. This is what sin does to us, is it takes us further away from God and gets us closer and closer to major, major disaster and trouble. And so Satan doesn't tell us a secret. This is the third time he doesn't tell us a secret, but he's awfully close. awfully close. So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened them with a pin. Again she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. Wow. So he told her everything. Probably the saddest and most stupid verse in the Bible. He's nagged to death, he gives up, and hands over his birthright and the secret to the strength that God has given him. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I've been a Nazarene dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaven, my strength would leave me, and I would become weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands this time. They knew she got him. After putting him to sleep on her lap, kind of an intimate portrayal, isn't it? Talking about betrayal. She called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That's equally as sad and tragic. So lost in his sin that he did not recognize when God had left him. And his Holy Spirit wasn't with him anymore. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged his eyes out, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they sent him to the grinding grain in prison. But the hair on his head began to grow after it had been shaved. And then the death of Samson. Now the rulers of Samson assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into his hands. When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who has laid waste our land and...